thank you for coming to the webcast today. This is PJ, your internet pastor, if you want to. Freebies, you don't have to send me anything. You don't have to donate anything. I don't want anything from you. This is the first webcast in the month of July of the year 2014 because I've been on vacation and I've been enjoying myself, and I'm working around the house here, still trying to keep things level, talk with these young people and keep their heads on right. But, you know, I thought that I'd name this webcast When Indifference Reigns Supreme, because there is a large gap between where I am in my adult life and where the younger man is, especially the younger man of this generation, now America. Such a wide gap that never the twain shall meet, one has said. I am of a sort that likes the way I was raised. I believe in those principles, and I adhere to them as often as I possibly could. But now we are confronted with a generation, you know, we used to call them a generation of vipers. That's what I recall the Christians would call these sinful little children of ours that's running around us, these brood of vipers. They would take on the presupposition that Jesus would judge them such, and so therefore they ought to judge too. But I, no. The brood of vipers that Jesus spoke about in the Bible was always the religious Pharisaic type that put on a pretense about life, put on a pretense about himself or herself. Those are the ones that Jesus said, keep your eye on. You know, we get it mixed up sometime. I was speaking with a new young friend of mine. As a matter of fact, he was by my office yesterday, to be exactly. And I showed him my website. I directed him to the YouTube site. And he found it to be very interesting viewing. At least I can tell by his body language that he seemed to be interested in it. Sometimes when I have youngsters come by and visit me, and I ask them would they do a particular webcast with me, and they're apprehensive because listen, when indifference reigns supreme, they want to do a webcast, but they want to not be interrupted when they are making fallacious statements. I let them know that I can't do that. I've never allowed a fallacious statement to go undebated. And if I debate them, I'm going to win, because I would never set out to have a radio presentation or an internet presentation and cannot defend it. That would make me and it, that is the presentation, bogus. I always know what the result is going to be at the end of a webcast, and I bring that result to fruit if anyone ever comes in the studio with me. Do you recall the E.V. Hill interviews? Do you recall those interviews? Do you recall the interviews that I did with Cecil Chip Murray of First AME Church here in Los Angeles a number of years ago? Chip is now retired, and I'm retired from the pastorate. I guess Chip would get a kick out of hearing that. And we'd probably go out and have a glass of beer. Don't freak on me. Don't freak on me. There's nothing wrong with a glass of beer. You're not going to burst the ends of hell wide open. And if you're a teetotaler, listen. It's all right. You know, I love for people to debate with me. Proverbs 21. I know the verse very well. And then they talk about drunkards, and I've never been akin to close to getting drunk. I don't know why anyone would get in the car saying double and try to drive the sucker. Now, one that doesn't know how to hold his alcohol or should never take a drink would say, exactly, because I take one drink and I'm saying triple. I said, I'm sorry. I can take three drinks and still don't get a blur. See? And so what makes one an alcoholic is the tolerance of their brain and the content of the liquor that they're putting in them. The same thing goes with food. This high cholesterol stuff that tastes so good to your buds will inevitably kill you. Would that send you to the outskirts of a burning hell also? Ding! Kind of makes you stop and think about it. But you know, when indifference reigns supreme, we have an idea, we're going to stick to that idea, we're going to hold to that idea, and we don't want anyone to challenge that particular idea. That's what the youngsters want me to do. And I said, no, 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 I'm from another generation. I believe in tearing your idea to shreds in order to let you know that you have a hell of a lot more work to do when it comes to making your life work. And, you know, that's done in love. You know, it's not done on a level of trying to judge the other person, tear the other person down. And I try to share that with the young person. And let me lay this out here for you older people that still come to me and listen to the webcast. For you pastors that are wondering why you can't get the 20-somethings to come to your church, I can't keep them from coming around me, asking me questions in the evening and hanging out with me. I can't keep them from it. And I don't put out advertisements. If this was a Christian church 30 years ago, I'd have another church with nothing but men in it asking the kind of questions that men need to ask. But you see, when many of you that are listening to me have gone for the gusto and you've used Christianity as a crutch to get something without working for it, how dare you? That is never what the faith was supposed to be about. And as a matter of fact, sometimes when I have somebody come by and visit me, they know that I'm in my office doing a webcast. Do you hear how quiet it is? Because I said, when I do a webcast, I don't want to hear you over the mic. What do you mean? And it means that I am in my office doing a webcast, and they are probably in any room in the house than they can be in. Well, aren't you? It would just be like if I were in the church and had Christians come in my house, the same thing. People are people. I love all people. I think that's what Jesus did. I don't think that Jesus walked around. Listen to me a little bit here. I don't think that Jesus walked around looking at people and then judged people wrongfully because he didn't particularly care for them. He didn't do that. That's what the evangelical church does. I'm sorry, it's hypocritical. I talk with these young men and I ask them, why won't they go to church? They all, from different neighborhoods, different backgrounds, and all of them laugh and say, are you kidding? Those people in that building don't even talk with a straight face. Now, there's a few that talk with a straight face, but when you write the person off in your mind as reprobate, see, you know, this idea that there are two kinds, listen to this. The idea that when a person is born that there are two kinds of people, either they are sinners or saints, that is taught in predestination, that God is predestined that I would be a saint, and that's why I'm a saint. Let me put the predestination thing like this, if you will. God knew who I am and who I was going to be, and how I was going to be that, and since he is God and I believe in Jah, then Jah can make anything happen that he wants to. Now, you may put a tag on it called predestination. I say Jah can do whatever Jah want to do. Jah did it. Jah made me with a mouth that never shuts up. Jah gave me a mind that can think straight after six straight drinks of alcohol. If I chose to do so, I could do a webcast in that state of mind, because artificial substance doesn't mess with the mind of Jah when he speaks through this human mouth. You see? And that's what I did. When you go on my YouTube clips and you watch all those clips, that is Jah, Jehovah God, Jesus, Yahweh, if you will, speaking through me his truths, making it plausible in a language that you can digest and understand. And Jehovah will demand retribution from all of us, whether you are indifferent or not indifferent to him. Oh, it's wonderful when you think like this, because when you share these words with young men, straight and gay, Jobs, no jobs. Intelligent, dumb. Brilliant, indifferent. Trusting, doubtful. I'm just mentioning the things of these people that come through. And because God has given me this, how can I call it? You know, I don't want my mind to go to my books that I had on the shelf when it talked about the calling of God in a man's life. So many years I've said it. God has never called a man and asked him to choose the church that he would take, only if the church that offered the most money had the right kind of parsonage, a car for he and his wife, a package with a college deal for the kids, and then this joker's going to get up there 30 minutes and talk about peanuts and popcorn, Cracker Jack on a brown monkey's back. And the folk are going to sit out there and pay him about $150,000 a year to do that for 365, days when he works. They're going to make him a millionaire. And that joker hasn't even told him anything about Jehovah. You don't ask these young men to go to anything like that, because these young men are saying, PJ, I can't even get a job. Some of them have given up trying. Just totally given up trying. These are the kind of young men that I come in contact with, the throwaways. And what's beautiful is when you allow them to talk. See, because they don't want to come to the mic anymore because they think that I'm going to slam them down, that I'm trying to harm them. No, they don't want to hear about the moral values and structure of the society that I was raised in, because to tell you the truth, listen, in my investigation, I've come to the point to believe that they don't believe that that ethical boundary ever exists. Their minds have never gone there. Oh God, if he gives me the time to teach ethics to these young men, that's what I'd like to do. That's what I want to discuss with them. And you know, this classroom would be a classroom where I can teach these young, beautiful men ethics. Not the ethics of a world that I grew up in. No, not that. Because in their life, those ethics are gone. How often have I heard the word from some of these young people, I don't trust that age group, they lie, they're hypocritical, they, oh man, the euphemisms that they use, they really let you know that they have no trust. Now, it's very easy for you to say, well, hell, they ain't got a pot to piss in. They ain't got no job. They're not contributing to society. They refuse to get on the bandwagon. They're those kind of, no. Do you know what kind of children they are? Do you know what kind of children they were? Because now they're young men. Do you want to know? They're throwaways. You know what a throwaway is. I remember I had a young boy that went to our church. I won't mention his name. If he still listens, he knows who he is. I picked him up a couple of times to bring him to church when Lucy and I was on the way to church. And he lived a little west of where I live and up in the hills. And so I said, wow, this kid just came into the church one day with another guy. They were kind of like artists. And he lives near me and he lives up here in the Heights, all right? And when I wanted to meet his parents. I'd love to meet your parents and let them know how happy I am. And he, no. He would never let me meet any of them. And then he mentioned to me that he was adopted by these people. And I picked up, and I couldn't help to pick up, and it was a sad thing. I picked up when he was talking to me, he was saying, I don't want you to meet these people because they don't love me. I didn't turn out the way they thought I was going to turn out. They adopted him when he was a baby. And so he grew up. That's all I say. And they didn't like the way he grew up. And so they basically got rid of him. And I hope he's doing well. And if he is listening to me, I'm in the same house, brother. And I always love you. Simple as that. But most of the people back in those days, 20 years ago and whatnot, they're probably going on with their lives doing something else. Because that's the way life is. Life gives itself to that. Different kind of ministry, different kind of way to present God to these youngsters. Because I present the moral biblical ethic, but I can't talk about it. Because when I talk about it, they all say, oh, I've been to church, I've seen that. And then when I ask, I get the same result. Hypocrisy. All of them are hypocrites. They say, look at us, has the church ever reached out and done anything to assist us? That takes me all the way back to the canto years when I first brought canto in my house. Temporary thing. All of them are temporary guests, you know, just saying hi. Some guests stay longer than others, but it's just in and out. Like the Burger King, I guess. But it's a kind of a thing that I think that this young generation has all tapped in on. They say the hypocrisy of a group of individuals who are not honest with themselves. And they kind of have brought that to my face, you know, brought it up to me, put it right in front of me. And I've had to back down and I've had to look at it. It's like the conversation that I told you about that two men were having in the restaurant about these young men today and about how they live. And it was the most disgracing conversation. Instead of them understanding the young people of the world that they are still living in, understanding the backgrounds of these young people, what kind of parents they had, that they didn't get any parenting at all. Recently, I had a young man tell me, I have never been loved so much by you. And he just hugged me. And another one of his friends walked by and didn't even think anything about it. Because that's the way they show affection. They'll hug you. They'll touch you. And I'm talking about people that have never been hugged by their own dad. If you guys are Christians, I don't care where you are, if some of my old Bible students are still listening to me, why don't I see your enthusiasm on the World Wide Web about the ministry, so-called, that you are going to build? I'll tell you why I don't see that anymore, because it all crumbled and went to dust. I'm still doing it. I'm the same John Coleman. I'm addressing or facing the world that I live in. I'm not running from that world, you see. When you address the world that you live in, when you confront it, when you face it, then you want to bring something plausible to the table, back to these young souls. My gosh, doesn't it just blow your mind? But wait a minute. I want to let you know how close this situation is to this generation and how the dialectic, and by the use of the dialectic, popular world leaders can sway the masses. Oh, I should have had my other notes up. my notes on Hegel. When Hegel talks about there are, I teach that in philosophy one, Hegel teaches that there are four kinds of persons, four kinds of people, that is, that a dialectician would have to contend with. And I'm going to pause right now because I want to raise that and show it to you. Hold on. All right. As I was saying earlier, Hegel has a classification for every person on the globe, whatever country he's in, however much money he's making, whatever color he is. He calls them the members of the state. This is what a socialist would call it. This is why you have to realize how Obama and your government and these people can do these things to you. And they can even do it with religion. That's why John MacArthur made the switch or the turn that he made in midstream. That's why many of you have just left the church and you keep coming back to my website. And I'm telling you, I'm struggling. I'm not asking you for anything. When you don't hear from me for days, do you know what I'm doing? I'm letting you live your life on your own because that's what it's all about. And I thank God I have strength in my body to do a good website now and then. But the first kind of person Hegel says is out there, he's called the citizen. He's one who is passive under the laws of the state. He doesn't have any awareness of any personal or civil liberty. He's just there. What can I get out of you? Give me mine. Give me mine. All right, I'm going to tab stuff. He's a citizen. He's not a threat to the government, to anybody, to nothing. He's just there. You just feed him. You give him a food cart. Give him a food cart and a mattress on his head. He's the citizen. Second one is a person. Hegel would call the person. And this person is aware of and very active in personal liberty. Now, believe it or not, I'm a person. I'm not just a citizen. Now, Hegel has a third classification for some of us, and he calls him the hero. Now, the hero is one whose will to personal liberty is consonant with the larger historical movements of the time and who has a sense of how to act in the political arena. So the hero is someone that sets himself up and people going to follow him or her. They're going to do that. See, and Hegel said, you got to know this. And then he says that the last one is called the victim, because their desires and interests are so inward and personal that they relate scarcely to any of the larger movements of life, and therefore they fall victim to everything and to the great tide of events that happens to run counter to their personal concerns. I don't want to be the victim. I will never be a victim. And I see a lot of people that are my age. They have placed themselves as victims. And why? Because their interests are so inward. I wonder if my check's showing up, baby. Whatever you do, just don't mess with my furniture. You know, a guy asked me, he says, John, aren't you concerned that somebody can rob you? And said, take it. Serious, what did Christ say? He said, love not the world, neither the things in the world. For you are not of this world. Now, what does that mean? Don't be loving that Lexus. Get rid of it, John. You know you can't afford it anymore. Neither the things in the world. If they steal from me and take it. I don't love that stuff enough that I'm going to hate you because you stole from me. For all that is in the world, he said it, is the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And what was the other one? Yeah, well, Eve saw the apple. She knew that it would taste good, and it would make her, the pride of life, live forever. And that's what the world gives you. I don't want to live forever on this globe. No, I'm just here for a little bit, a training ground. So which one of the four are you? Are you the citizen, the person, the hero, or the victim? You're one of them. And you know what? Your president, President Obama, he knows these things. Because what I'm reading to you, he studied Hegel. Most of his advisors have. they are Hegelian in all that they do. Those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, you're not going to find that in the Bible, but yes, you will. Because the writers of the scriptures wrote about that. The world has been run by this process ever since man got his hand on government. That's why when you read in the book of Genesis that God's original design was not for government, but was for everyone to be free under a, oh my goodness, I almost forgot what you call it. We live in a democracy, but God wants people to live under a theocracy, under the theocratic rule of God, of Yahweh. And that's why a lot of people that are very highly religious contagious is what I call my brethren. If a woman shows her face, you cover it up. Cover up your body. And these people, they'll do extreme things if you don't live up to those modus operandi. They'll kill you if you don't do that. And Christianity has become like that. They'll kill your reputation. They'll try to smother you out. And you know what? The people that Christianity has done that to, and I'm going to tell you, it is not me, but the people that the faith has done that to, some of them will never forget and forgive, and they are the most adamant haters of evangelicalism. And in most cases, it is because of what the hypocrites in that organization has done to the other person. So I want those of you that understand what I'm saying not to feel like you're alone out there. You're never alone. No, I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. If I had an opportunity to pastor a church today, those people wouldn't listen to me. You let me take, because I have hundreds and hundreds of outlines, you let me take one of those outlines that I preached that I'm all over YouTube. Do you think, 1 minute, that this generation of human beings will allow themselves to listen to that? To allow themselves to listen to someone say that if you do not correct your behavior, you can end up in a burning hell. Do you think that anybody is going to sit and listen to that just point blank? If you don't give money to this church, man, God only knows what they're telling those people out there now. I'm serious about that. God only knows, because I don't. I don't attend those places. Mm-mm. And I do it for my health, because whenever I go, my blood pressure goes up and my cholesterol goes up and everything else, and my heart is pumping fast because I know the Negro is lying. And it would be rude for me in a public place to say you a lie. But if he was just there practicing his little piece, I'd tell him if I was in the room, that can't be. And I'd tell him why it can't be, because you know what? This generation, you can't correct them. You can't correct them at all. Correcting them is like, I'm entitled to my opinion and you're entitled to yours. You shouldn't try to put your opinion on me, and I'm not going to try to put my opinion on you. Yeah, but we living in space. Yeah, but you stay in your bubble and I'm going to stay in mine. And we have to agree to get along that way. You know what? That's what I've done. Oh no, that's not called compromise. That's called stand in the battle until it's done. Because with my concept of what God wants to be done in the hearts of men, I want to do it in these young men's heart before I leave the planet, before I die. I want to motivate, stimulate, agitate, and or encourage every young man that I come in contact with, and so that he might get in touch with himself, who he is, why he is, where he is. I want him to know what makes him a man, what makes him possibly to say, I don't want a wife. You don't need a wife to be fulfilled. Know who you are. Know what fulfills you. Fulfilling you may be working as a lumberjack. Fulfilling you may be sailing the seven seas. Fulfilling you may be skydiving, air jumping, bungee jumping. Pleasing you may be choosing a partner that no one ever thought you ever would. God didn't call you to listen to men. He called you to listen to him. Must I say that again? God did not call you to listen to men, but to listen to him. God is not a female. I know God is a spirit, but his mind, and man, when you look at Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, it is not in the feminine gender in the Hebrew or Greek. You cannot do that. It has the concept of a God, your father. Now, to the extreme liberated woman, she's mad at her father. Well, take it from me. I never mess with my two daughters, so if they mad at me, that's on them, not on me. Y'all can place that where you need to place it. Because being mad at a man because you had one bad experience with a bad man doesn't mean that all men are bad. I try to tell young men all the time, she fall in love with a woman, know that she's going to be a woman, she's not a man. She's not thinking like you, she's thinking like her. I have my opinion about the extremities of a woman's mind when she becomes evil. I think Dr. J. Vernon McGee on Through the Bible speaks about it often on his tape shows, and when you listen to him, J. Vernon McGee will tell you that every time you see a woman spoken of in the Bible having more than the dialogue of the position that she should be in, that woman is always working on the behest of Satan. That is true today also, because God called men to herald his word, because your daddy's not going to tell you like your mama would tell you. Your daddy going to tell you, boy, I told you not to go over there. And you see, your mama going to tell you 5 or 6 times, ain't she? Your daddy going to say, boy, didn't I tell you? And when that boy steps to go, a backhand's going to knock him blue. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, we're going to call the police. We're going to call the police on you, old man. Oh, you teaching child abuse on this here internet. Let me tell you something. God gives you that child that comes from the fruit of your sweet loins. That child is yours. You love that child. You have an obligation under the word of God to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when that child gets old, he will not depart from it. Don't ask me what verse that is. Look it up yourself. Stop being stupid. Do some work. I'm talking about from the Bible. That's the only book that we American blacks have since we came over here and they polluted us with this blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus, which never existed. It's just your imagination running away with you. I don't know why people get offended when I tell them the truth. Jesus looked more like me than like John MacArthur. Are you crazy? It doesn't make any sense. Man, you read the story. You read the story. The angel Gabriel told Joseph to take the baby and his mother Mary after the baby Jesus was born and hide the child in Egypt until I call you out. Now, would you mind telling me, unless there was an Egyptian albino baby down there, where you going to find a blue-eyed blonde hair? And the mom and daddy wasn't blue-eyed nor blonde hair. Where you going to find that at? See, a lot of this stuff was made up, people. And if you don't have enough cognitive dissonance to understand, that's why educated people won't even follow our faith. They won't. The reason that I follow a faith in God is because I believe in recompense. I believe in payback. I believe that if God has given us life and we had a rich life, you know, it's like Bonnie and Clyde. Some folk was just shooting people and everything. That's why the police did them the way they did. Some people see these remakes of the movie and they crying for Bonnie and Clyde. They should have been shot in the head the week after the first robbery. Because people that are wicked like that need to... Look, the unwicked people in a society, that's what ethics is, have to remove the wicked people. And guess what? Guess what the Christians are trying to do? They're trying to eradicate the wicked homosexuals. At least that's what they call them. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. But anyhow, I think you get the point. And if you don't get the point, capture it. Capture it. You've got to change. Listen, in different rains, and it reigns supreme if you refuse to own up to what I'm saying. I've quoted scripture for you. I've told you what God demands of us. And some of you out there are getting it, and some of you out there are saying, John, what happened? No, I'm going to tell you what happened. Our society has changed. All right, you asked me what happened, right? What happened? What happened? Okay. Well, I was preaching back in the, let's say, 85 to 95. So that means that in 85, y'all was 20. In 95, you were 30. Yeah, and so about that time, your kids was about 10 years old now. Now, in 205, your kids are 20 years old. See? In 213, all right, they're 31 years old. 213, 214. Your kids are 31, yeah. And you about 50 now. And you getting close to retirement. You see what your children listen to on the radio? Because you's buying all that stuff for them. You see kind of clothes they wear. You know when your daughter's no longer a virgin. You can tell just by looking at her. You can tell when your boy goes over to his male friend's house and spend all this time with him when he pubers and become a man. All you have to do is go on the internet. You can see what these boys are doing out there. They're sexing each other up. I know you say, oh, that's disgusting. What happened? What happened? No, these are your children. These are your children, the ones that you fathered and brought in the world. Unless the church is a spawning ground for success. And by the way, that's just a man parked in front of the studio out here that's not coming from my house. But we know what our children have become. And did we have them in church with us? Answer the truth. No. Because during a great period of time, you couldn't get them to come to church. They would not deal with the hypocrisy. It's all in their music. Their music for the past 20 years have been telling them, and this is where the music industry comes in. Because when these fools get going and put out all this dialectic mess, and everybody gets caught up in it, well, it's easier to get caught up in it. I know. I know how easy it is. I'm caught up in things from time to time. And I ask myself, why do I get caught up in it? Because I'm living in the environment. I'm living in the same environment that you are. Wherever you live, whatever you see taking place in your community, it is taking place in mine. I'm not losing heart. I'm not losing faith. No, I do not dislike Barack Obama. I love Barack Obama. Michelle, his kids, his mother-in-law. I thank God that he's safe. He can smile and everything, but I know he has a job to perform. I know that he does. Now, how can I love a man that's performing a job that I don't agree with? Because Jesus said, love those that despitefully use you. See, that's what makes me a believer. I'm going to extol God and obey him. It's not about the humans, because, you know, these folk can listen to my webcast and put me on the terrorist list since I got a website talking about I don't like the government. Well, I tell those guys, I have nothing against you. I love you. I love my country. I love the flag. And I love it that I can, you know, go get a bowl of soup and a cup of coffee and talk with somebody and smile. Thank you. That's all I want to do. I don't want no money. I don't want none of that stuff. I want to live out my life here in freedom. I think that, and that's another thing, you know, we don't think enough about that. July 4th just passed, man, in freedom. You know what that is? You know why all the Hispanics are coming over here? Bless their little hearts. Freedom. Food, man. You can go over there and, man, they give you food. You tell a poor Mexicanette, what? And he in Mexico, they give you food, man. They give you $250 a month free every month while you looking for work. Now, what's going to stop them people from coming across this border? Are you crazy? They coming because they ain't got literally shit there. Excuse my language. But they don't have anything. And I said like that because some of you evangelicals won't even squat on a toilet unless it is squeaky clean. These people don't have toilet facilities. And you ask, why are they coming across? You know, I don't understand evangelical. Why are they coming across the border? You'd be coming across somebody's border too. You let all this stuff get shut off here. You let everything get out of here. You know what would happen? The men in your family would have shotguns clearing the way. So they're taking their wives and babies out of there. But somebody would broadside them and shotgun them in the head. Man, when the chaos breaks out in the cities, it's going to be a mess. I pray that Yahweh takes care of you all out there. Because it will be a mess if this thing turns into a brawl. Because Americans are used to having a chicken stuffed links and all that kind of stuff. Hey, man, I like a picnic too. And I had I had a ball at the beach on the 4th of July. Yeah, when indifference reigned supreme. For those of you that don't know, you got to know. You have to come to my website to listen to this. I'm PJ, the internet pastor, retired pastor. Go to YouTube, John Cole, 1234. That's J-O-H-N-C-O-L-E, 1234. Those will be my YouTube clips. You can see who I am. I explain why I do what I do. I am a Christian. I am, but not in the sense that you would think as an evangelical. I'm not that kind of Christian. I'm not the kind of Christian that goes around hating people because they're different. I recall when someone did something very harmful to me and I had to give it some real serious thought. Now, how do I feel about this person? Do I hate this person or do I dislike this person? My phone just rung in the studio here a few seconds ago and I was telling him what I was talking about and he says, oh no. I've never, when he was a member of the church that I pastored, he said, no, you've never hated. You've never hated because hate changes you, my friend. And I'm not indifferent. Now, I was indifferent towards young people that I didn't understand because I raised my children to be a certain way. And so my children didn't turn out corrupt. And I was living under the assumption or the mindset that if other children came up and they were less fortunate to have good parents, then shame on the parent, not shame on the child. And that's why I help these young men. You know, shame on you, John. Look at them. They're doing this, they're doing that. You need to tell them to repent. You know what? You tell one of these persons to repent, they will laugh you to scorn. Repent. What does that mean? All it means in the Greek is to turn from the direction that you're heading in and go in another direction. That's what the term repent means, to turn. Now, would Jesus tell a man, wait a minute, would Jesus say, wait a minute, listen to the question and stop playing games with me? With Jesus, who is our Lord in the Christian faith, who knows the man and the woman that is born and everything, would he suggest to them to do that? Would he? If he is indeed Yahweh, if Yahweh is a creator, and Yahweh creates a whole bunch of different people with a whole bunch of different mannerisms, a whole bunch of different approaches to solve problems and everything. Man, if I got back into the business aspect, working in a floor in an office cubicle, I would probably go crazy. I couldn't do it. But these kids going there from 20 to 50 or 60 years old and retire and without going crazy. I come from a different time when the telephone was a big black plastic thing about 4.5 to 5 inches high at times, and one big black wire in the house. When we left looking for an address, we couldn't take a copy of the street map because that wasn't invented yet. If you didn't know where you was going, you sure enough should stay home. That's where it was when I grew up. So I grew up in a different time. One of the youngsters asked me, that man almost got hit. I'm living in the city. Humans blowing at each other. We should love one another. I'm glad that didn't end up into a brawl. But pray for your government officials. When Obama retires a chef on his staff and said that because his cholesterol went up when he was eating the chef's cakes on the weekend, he made a joke about it. I asked, did he put crack in the cake? Now, that kind of statement from the President of the United States. And Michelle's face was of such, she picked up something in the audience, if you watch the clip. And she said, Barack didn't mean that. Barack didn't, see, she's trying to correct, trying to save her husband. The doofus that he is. I'm telling you, without a cue card thing up there, that guy is worthless. And I made statements like that. And when I made statements like that, it was when I was very relaxed. Look at the tape. Very relaxed and enjoying myself. Look at the tape and stop playing. I know you don't want to look at that because he's a president of the United. Look at the tape again. I know anybody else over 30 or 40 knows. Why don't the evangelical church know? Why don't somebody say it? And that's why the young generation has no respect for the older generation. You won't say what you know you saw. You won't say what you know you see. But then you want to get them all mixed up in something that you don't even see. Why would someone try to get someone to get into an organization that he could not fully prove to his own self? It makes no sense to do that. I'm not contradicting myself. I understood everything. That's why God called me as a teacher of his word. He didn't call me as no business manager to build up no big old house and keep bringing people and bringing money in there. That would make me a money whore. And my God would never do that. I would ask all you pastors that listen to me and allow the Holy Spirit to convict your rotten, filthy, no good hearts that have done that to repent of your abomination. Give those people their money back and make a decent living by assisting someone else. Open your home, bring someone in there. Be truly hospitable, truly loving, but only bring in people that are more like you. Because if you bring in people that are less like you, you're going to have problems. Find the kind of persons that has the kinds of sensitivities that you have, needs that you have. There's a lot of needy people out there. They'll help you. They'll help you in life if you help them. I think that's what the Christian way is all about. Instead of putting on another program to keep the restless natives quiet. Thank you for coming to my webcast. It's been a wonderful time. It's been about a week or so. I hope to do this again very soon. I'm enjoying it. This is PJ, your internet pastor, just giving you some words to think about when indifferences reign supreme. See, when those indifferences reign, somebody has to break the Cold War. Somebody has to do something to bring about the change. Will you be that person? God bless your hearts. Thank you for coming to my website. I really appreciate it.